Have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Numbers 23. Numbers chapter 23. We'll be really speaking from the verse 9 and right down. Numbers chapter 23. Want to look at Balaam. Really, what we have here is a true message from a false prophet. A true message from a false prophet. We want to look at that this morning. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We pray that thou would bless it to our souls. That thou, Lord, would give us ears to hear thy word. That thou would, Lord, give us thy spirit to each and all of your people. And thou would give us grace now to preach the word that you have laid upon our heart. We pray be awarded in season to your people. Encourage us, Lord, to love and to stand more for Christ in these days. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of God's Word, we have the historical account of Israel. They are marching towards the Promised Land. And on their march towards Canaan, they had come face to face with many difficulties. Indeed, many, many times the people have been discouraged along the way. In Numbers 21 and verse 4 it says, "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Discouragement had come into the hearts of the people. Yes, God said, "I'll bring you to Canaan." And the people had risen up to march to the Promised Land. But oh, dear friends, they were finding this. That the way to Canaan was not easy. There was battles to be fought. There was discouragement to be faced. It was not an easy road on the march to Canaan. What is true of Israel is true of all the people of God. The way to heaven, to glory. God does not promise any one of us that it is going to be easy. What God promises all of His people is this. That every one of us will be in heaven who are saved. Not one of God's people will fail to make it to heaven. And maybe today in this congregation there is a child of God. And you're saying, "Well, Noel, I'm much discouraged because of the way. There's problems, there's difficulties, there's trials, there's fears in my heart." Remember this. The Bible says in Acts 14 verse 22, Paul and Barnabas said this, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Must enter in through the kingdom of God through much tribulation. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be trials and there are going to be troubles. And in this passage of the Word of God, we find God's people facing problems. We find them facing their enemies. Balak, the king of Moab, had sent for Balaam because Balaam, it was said of Balaam, had great powers. And he could put curses on people, and whomsoever he cursed, they were cursed. And this king hears about Balaam and he says to Balaam, "Come and curse this people, because I hear whomsoever thy curseth is cursed. And I want you to curse this people of God." No, Balaam was a false prophet. And he comes, why? Because of the love of unrighteousness. The love of money. Great rewards is promised to this man. And he comes and he tries and he tries and he tries to bring a curse and a curse upon this people. But he could not do it. Every time he went away, God put a word in his mouth. And when he came back to this king of Moab, he says, "I've got a message." And I can tell you this, friends, it was not Balaam's message. Balaam wanted to bring an entirely different message. He wanted to bring a message of damnation and curse upon this people. But the message he brought was God's. Yet he was a false prophet. But you read those words, and a couple of times it's said in verse 16, and the Lord met Balaam, and listen, and put a word in his mouth. God put His word in his mouth. And here's a false prophet. Yes, but he's got a true message now. And God's going to use this man to bring a true message to Balaam and to all the princes. And so Balaam comes back. And he stands and he looks over to Israel. And as he looks upon Israel, he brings a message. He brings a true message. He brings, friends, God's message about this people. Because he speaks many lessons about the people of God. And as he stood with this congregation of a king and of his princes gathered around him, here is a false prophet with a true message. And he preaches a great message about God's people, about the people of Israel. And as we will see, we will look about these lessons that are true of all of God's people, even here this morning. A true message from a false prophet. Because we find here, when he viewed the children of Israel, he saw the presence of their glorious sovereign. Because he says in the middle of verse 21, the Lord his God is with him. And dear friends, what a message this was to preach about the people of God. This people, Balak, that you have sent me to curse, I want to tell you this, the Lord his God is with him. As he looked upon this people of Israel, he saw God was in their midst. He saw that this people had the company of God, the one who was the great I Am, the great Jehovah, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And Balaam, as he looked down upon this tribes of Israel, he saw this, the God was with him. And he saw the Lord was his God. The Lord, his God, is among them. That's what he saw, friends. This was his testimony as he viewed the people of God. That they had the presence of a glorious sovereign. God was in their company. And God was with them. I can read in the Bible of others when they were looked upon. Had the same testimony. Abimelech said to Isaac in Genesis 26 and verse 28. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we think of Potiphar, he said to Joseph in Genesis 39 and verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And as these men looked upon the children of the Lord, they saw this, that God was with them. No, Balaam, as he looked upon Israel, he had to confess God was with his people. They had the company of the Lord. And I want to tell you, friends, according to the Bible, God dwells in the midst of his people. Sometimes we think God is a God who's far away, miles away in heaven. Sometimes God's people think, well, God has left me. He is nowhere near me. But listen, that is wrong. God dwells in the midst of his people. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And God dwells in the midst of his people. And I ask you the question today, as people look upon you, do they see that God is with you? That's what Balaam said. When he looked upon Israel, he saw, well, they had the company of the Lord. God dwelt among them. What do people say about you in the workplace, in the school? Do they say God is with that man, or God is with that woman, or with that young person, or that young boy and girl? Because the truth of the matter is, God is in the midst of his people. What about your home? The people says God dwells in that house. What about this church? As people go past, do they say, God is in this place? He's a false prophet. And as he looked upon Israel, he had to confess. And he did say it. The Lord his God is with him. God is with his people. Is that our testimony? Is that the testimony of this denomination? Is that the testimony of this witness in Kiel? Is that your testimony? This was their testimony. That God was with them. They had the company of the Lord. And old Balaam said this. He's preaching a true message. So they had. They had the covenant of the Lord, because he said in verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? And he talks here about the word of God to this people. And he says, God does not lie. And God has spoken about this place, these people. And what God has said about these people. Well, all the promises. All the promises of God that he has given to them will come through. You see, they had the covenant of the Lord. They were standing on the promise of God. And here was a very, very privileged people. As Balaam looked upon them, friends, they had the presence of the Lord, and they had the covenant of the Lord, the promise of God. See, God was with them. I think of Joshua, when God spoke to Joshua. He says in Joshua 1 verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Joshua, he had the presence of God. And God says, well, I will be with thee. And you will find this, I will not fail thee. And he had the promises of God. He had the word. Oh, God's people, remind yourselves. When God's in our midst, we've got his word. And what a blessing, what a privilege we have today to have the word of the living God. And listen, to be taught the word of God and to know the word of God is a real blessing. We think of Roman Catholics, friends, that never read the Bible. I'd be speaking to them. I was at the boy's house one day there in Ballymartin, and he had a wee text up on the wall. You know what it said? John 3:16. Somebody had given to his little boy. Didn't give any words. And he showed me this wee text with John 3:16, and I said to him, do you know what that says? Do you know what that verse says? He said he didn't know. I said, let me tell you what that verse says. And I told him that great verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world. And he looked at me really surprised that I would have came to his door and be able to tell him what that verse was. But he didn't read the Bible. Didn't have the promise of God in his grasp. Oh, dear friends, what a joy it is when we have God in our company. We have the covenant of the Lord and we have the promise of God. Every one of them. We go the last year, the promise of God's come through to us. God has been with us, friends. We've had his presence and we have his promise. And here were our people, and Balaam's preaching a true message. He's preaching about this people. He says God is with them. And he said, I'll tell you more than that. They have the covenant of God. They have the word of the living God. That's the testimony we want in this church. That's the testimony we want, dear friends, in our Christian life. That God is with us. That we have God with us. And we have the word of the living God. That's the greatest blessing. That's what we want people to say about us as they look upon us. They had the combination of the Lord as well. God commended them in verse 30, because he said there in verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. Listen, see that people down there? They're blessed. They're blessed, he says. Ah, you have brought me the curse. But I want to tell you this, that people has received the blessing of God. God has blessed. He hath blessed them. And I read the Bible in Psalm 3, verse 8. It says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And here's what it says. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And oh, dear friends, as this old false prophet looked down upon them, he says, God has blessed them. They have the blessing of God. Are we not blessed? We are. Can we not say today, friends, that we are blessed by his presence? God is with his people. We're blessed by his word. We're blessed by his promises. We're blessed by his love. We're blessed by his care. We could not begin to count the many blessings God has bestowed upon his people. Yes, he spoke here about the presence of our glorious sovereign. God is in the midst of them. He saw God was with them. Is that your testimony? Is that my testimony? It's good to remind ourselves, child of God, that God is with you. And you have His promises. And you have His blessing. And He is blessed. No one can ever change that. Do people see that in your life? That God is with you. And there may be some in our congregation today and you're not seeing. And I'll tell you this, when the world look upon you and they listen to your conversation, they see this, they see that the devil is with you. They see the devil's with you. And that's an awful testimony to have, friends. Because if God is not with you, the devil's with you. Running your life, ruining your life, leading you down towards damnation and everlasting destruction. And while there's people in this congregation have this testimony, God is with them. You haven't got it. Because you're not saved, friends. You see, He spoke about the presence of a glorious Sovereign. God is in the midst of them. That's the testimony we want, child of God. For ourselves, for our homes, and for this congregation. That people would see, God is with this people. God is in the midst of this place. This was the message that He preached. He spoke something else about them. He spoke about their purity, of their good standing, because you look at verse 21. He says, He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has He seen perverseness in Israel. Now, this does not mean that Israel had no sin. No, the context means that there was no sin in this people that would merit the judgment of God to fall upon them. No, at this particular time, they were not worshipping idols. They were not following idols. They were not bowing down before statues in their idolatry. And so He could say here, God does not beheld iniquity in Jacob. As He looks upon them, there's nothing there at the moment to bring down the wrath of God. God has wiped out their sin. No iniquity. God has pardoned this people. This people has been brought out by the blood. And He looked upon them. And He spoke about their purity, friends, of their good standing. Because there's no iniquity in Jacob. You know that's how God looks upon His people. I ask you today, how do you look upon yourself? If a really honest child of God were like the Apostle Paul. Do you remember he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." There was this conflict taking place in his heart. This battle with evil and good. He saw his feelings and his sin. And he saw he grieved the Lord many, many times. And he cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Look at ourselves. We see faults. We see sin. But when God looks upon us, He doesn't see any sin. And that's the beauty of it all, friends. We were singing about Jesus, thy blood and thy righteousness. In Jeremiah 50, verse 20, "In those days and that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve." And here's the Lord saying, people will search for their sins. People may look high and low for their iniquity and for their sins. And God says here, they shall not be found. Why is this? Because they're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. God looks upon His people. And I say to you this, dear friends, when He looks upon you, He doesn't see any iniquity. He doesn't see it. And there are times we see such failures and sin. But the eye of this mighty, merciful God, when it falls upon His people, He does not behold iniquity in His people. Why is that? How can this be done? Because of our cleansing. The Bible tells us, friends, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that day we come to Christ, every sin has to go. And every sin does go. This fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. And when I come to Christ with all my multitude of sin and the vileness of my iniquities, the teaching of the Bible is, when I come to Christ, every sin is taken away. There's not one left. Not amazing. What an amazing God we have, friends. What a pardoning God we were singing about this morning. That all our sin, every one of them, is all gone. Sometimes God's people are troubled. Sins of the past keep coming up. I can tell you this, it's not God that brings them up, because God's forgotten about them. The blood of Christ has cleansed us from every sin, and every sin is taken away, and God looks upon His people and hears this false prophet with a true message. And He's telling about this great standing this people have before God. He does not behold iniquity in them. They're all covered, you see. They're all washed away in the blood of Christ. And that's my standing today before God. He doesn't see it, friends. Because we're cleansed and because we're covered in the righteousness of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And this is how God can do it. Because He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world and to suffer and to bleed and to die upon the cross, and He took our punishment and He took our place, and He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Therefore God can cleanse us and cover us and forgive us and pardon us for our sins because of Christ. He puts the righteousness of Christ upon us, and He looks upon us as if we've never sinned. He doesn't behold any iniquity in Jacob. Oh, child of God, that's how God sees you. We see ourselves so differently. We weep over our failings. We get so discouraged about it at times. Maybe that's your state this morning, child of God. Listen, God looks upon you. No sin. Washed away in the blood of Christ. Covered in the righteousness of Christ. And yet, can I say there may be some in this meeting and they're not saved? God does see your sin. God does see it. And maybe you've been trying to hide your sin and your iniquity. Maybe you've been trying to cover your own sin. It cannot be done. And I speak of the unsaved. God looks upon us and He sees, doesn't see our sin. It's all gone, friends. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He doesn't see our sin. But I tell you this, He sees yours. And He's taken account of it. And if you don't turn from your sin, you'll be punished in hell for all eternity. And that's a high price to pay for sin. That's a terrible price you have to pay. God sees your sin. God takes note of your sin because you've never come to Christ. And you've never been washed in the blood of a lamb. You've never been covered in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, when God looks upon you, He sees your sin. He knows all about it. And the wrath of God abideth on you. The wrath of God abideth on those who's not saved. They are in serious trouble with God. He sees all about your sin. But God's people, they have this great standing. No iniquity. He overlooks our sin because we're saved and washed in the blood of Christ. And here's this man preaching this true message. Ah, that people, God doesn't see their sin. Doesn't see it. He's covered it. He's forgiven it. He's taken it away. That's what the same message, friends, to you this morning. You see it. That's what God says about me. And that's what He says about you. He spoke about the power of their great strength, because as He looked upon this nation, He saw this, that they were not a weak and feeble people. Rather, He speaks to Balak here about their great strength that they possessed. They had power to rise, because in verse 24 He says, "Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion." Oh, He says, "Do you see that young lion or that lion sitting? You go near that lion and you will find this, that that lion will rise up in his wrath and in his strength against you. You go near it and you will find that lion has power to rise." That people is just like that. That's what they're like. Now you're talking about cursing them. But I'll tell you, you go near them and you'll find that that people is a people with great power and with great strength. And you will find that that people, like a lion, will rise. Will rise up against you. God's people are to be a meek people. There's no doubt about that. We are to be meek. But we're certainly not a weak people. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And no doubt these people were poor because the shout of the king was among them. God was among this people. Well, if God's among us, when we're powerful, we have the power to stand for Christ. Remember it says in Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall receive power. Be able to rise up. And all child of God, that's how we should be living for Christ. When the enemies come, well, to touch the doctrines of the Bible, we should rise up. And when they come to stand against Christ, we should rise up for Christ. Like a lion. They had this great power. And I want to say to you, maybe you say, I feel a weak Christian. I feel a feeble Christian. Listen, there's power. Ye shall receive power. That's why the Bible tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That we might have this power. Power to stand. Power to resist. Power to rise for God. They had this power. They had power to resist as well, not only to rise in verse 23. Because he said here, surely there's no enchantment against Jacob, that there's any divination against Israel according to this time. He said, all of these enchantments and divination, all of these curses. It doesn't matter what I say. It's like water by duck's back. It doesn't do them any harm. It doesn't matter if you get all the witches around this community and they all pronounce their curses upon God's people. It'll do no harm, friends. It doesn't do any harm. Because God is in their midst. And these people had power to resist all the enchantments, all the curses that even Balaam or anybody would try to put upon them. And what he was saying, nothing can harm them. No one can touch them. Because God is in their midst. And how true that is, dear friends, as you and I live in this world, there's nothing can harm us. Nothing. Christ says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's none can touch us. There's none can harm us. Because we have this power of this great strength. Power to resist all the attacks of the enemies. They can't touch us. Remember the prophet said in Isaiah 54 and verse 7, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. But notice, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Doesn't matter what weapon it may be. It may be lies. Maybe persecution. Maybe troubles. Doesn't matter what is formed against the people of God. God tells us that it shall not prosper. Why? Because we've got the strength of God within us. Power to resist all the evil that will come against us. Nothing can harm us, friends, on our journey home. Nothing can stop it. Nothing could stop these people making it to the promised land. They had God with them, and the power of God was upon them, you see. And here's this prophet. He's telling Balak and all his men about the children of Israel. These are people of great strength. You dare not go near them. You dare not go near them, for they rise up like a lion. They had also power to resist, power to ruin, because in verse 24 he says, he shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And he's showing back, here's what they're really going to do. They're going to eat their prey and drink the blood of their prey. They're going to destroy all who will come before them. And every enemy that will come against them, they will rise up as a lion and they will totally and utterly destroy them. And that's what happened. You can follow Joshua. And then the Canaan and all the enemies coming against them. And one by one the cities fell. And one by one the kings were defeated. Because they had the power of God with them. In Daniel 1 verse 32 it says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Great victories taken for God. May that be said of us, friends. May we not be defeated Christians. May we not feel the church or the work of God is being defeated. But maybe rise up and see great victories being claimed in this town, this neighborhood for Christ. And to realize that we have this strength of the lion. That we have, dear friends, this strength of the Lord. That God is among the people. Who can stand upon the or stand before the people of God? Read church history. Many stood up. Many came against them. But all friends, they could not stand against the children of the Lord because they had the power of God within them. They had the strength of a unicorn. You see, he saw that these were powerful people. All the people would see that we are men and women who has the power of God upon us. They would see we're filled with the Holy Ghost. That we're doing great exploits for Christ. Seeing great victories being, Lord, wrought in this community for the Lord Jesus. Here's this false prophet preaching about Israel. He saw the power of it and their great strength. But could I say lastly, he saw they had been partakers of a glorious salvation. If you look what he says in verse 22, it says, God brought them out of Egypt. And you know, he looked upon this people. He saw they had been partakers of a glorious salvation. He saw that this people had been brought out of Egypt. Ah, do you see this people you want me to curse? I want you to tell you about Israel. They have been brought out. They have been brought out of Egypt. He saw their freedom. They were once in Egypt. They were once held in chains and in bondage. They were once slaves. They were once beaten. But he said this, God has brought them out. God has delivered them from the house of bondage. They've been set free. Oh, friends, do people see that in our life? You know, in our own safe life, we once lived in Egypt. Once we're chained to sin. Once followed the course of this world. Once followed the old devil. But Christ has set us free. Do people see in our lives that we've been brought out of Egypt? That God has saved us. Do you show it in your life? This glorious salvation. Yes, you can say, I once was in Egypt. I once was held by booze and sin and all types of utter iniquity, but he's brought me out. Is that seen in your life? And maybe you're still in Egypt. Maybe you're still in bondage. Still in your sin, friends. But I saw these people had been partakers of a glorious salvation. He brought them out of Egypt. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to you, child of God. God saved us. He brought us out of Egypt, spiritually speaking. He saw their following as well, because some people, commentators, have said in verse 22 can be translated, God brought them out of Egypt, can mean God is bringing them out or leading them out, and they're following them. And they were following them. Indeed, we can read they did follow the Lord, the pillar of cloud and of fire. They were following the Lord. Do people see that we are following the Lord? Tell me, who are you following? If you're not following Christ, you following sin? Sinful companions? Following the devil? Leading you down towards hell? But God's people, you can look and you can see they're following Jesus. Following the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. He saw their future as well, because in verse 10 he said wonderful things. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his, he said. He saw they had been partaking of this wonderful salvation. Oh, not only did he see they're going to the land of Canaan, he saw they were going to heaven, the people who were saved among these tribes. And he said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. He saw the future, friends, for them. They were going to heaven. That's what this man preached. A true message from a false prophet. That's where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? Where are you going in this meeting? young person, older person, where are you going in eternity? Are you going towards heaven? Are you going towards hell? I'm the home to glory. And there's many in this meeting saying, and here was this old prophet, he preached this true message about God's people. I'm glad the words he said were God's words. And I'm glad they're true. And I'm glad, friends, the words that he preached, I can take them for myself. This is what God says about me. This is what God says about you, child of God, in this meeting. We are going home to heaven. Everlasting life. And to live in the kingdom of God forever and forever. What a blessing it is to know the Lord. Yes, we have His presence. Yes, we have His purity. Yes, we have, dear friends, His power. Yes, we have His promises of heaven and everlasting life. What a blessing it is to be saved. If you're not saved, come to Christ. Come and trust Him this morning. Turn from your sin. You'll find He's a great Savior. And you'll find there's mercy with the Lord before it's too late, friends. Come and trust Him. Even come and trust Him now. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your love. We thank Thee for the Word of God. Lord, I pray it's been a comfort to the hearts of Your people. This is what God says, not just about Israel, but about the Israel of God, about all of His people. But Lord, what they were Your people, that art with us. And oh Lord, we have everlasting life, and nothing can ever harm us. Remember those who's not saved, touch their hearts and bring them to Christ. Now, Lord, take us our separate ways to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.